Hello, this is Tracy, and welcome to ADHD for Smartass Women. Creating this podcast is a joy, but it's not without its costs. For 5 years, it's been free to consume, but not free to create. If you believe in what we're doing and want to help me continue, consider supporting the show with a one-time or ongoing donation at spyhappy.me/support. Your support, it means the world to me. It fuels our mission to change the conversation around ADHD in women and helps us create content that lights up our community with positive emotion, practical advice, and real relatable stories. Thank you for being such an amazing part of our community. Once again, the link is spyhappy.me/support.
ADHD can be something that negatively impacts on your life at points. And then, you know, all the wonderful things about it you live with and you learn to live with. So it's just, I think it's just different points in time. It's not like if you have ADHD, it's an, you know, people think it's a condition and it's really negative. No, it's up and down. You know, sometimes it's the bad symptoms kick in, but that's for a period. And then, you know, you just move on and you learn to deal with it.
Thomas Edison, Richard Branson, John F. Kennedy, Mozart, Michael Jordan, Will Smith. That sounds like a list of highly successful titans in a variety of vocations. Why is it that we rarely hear that they have or had ADHD? And you know what we hear even less about? Serena Williams, Emma Watson, Mel Robbins, Whoopi Goldberg, Agatha Christie, Erin Brockovich, Cher. Yeah, the successful women navigating ADHD. And that's exactly why I started this podcast, ADHD for Smartass Women. I'm your host, Tracy Otsuka. I'm a lawyer, not a doctor, a lifelong student, now a coach. I'm also the creator of Your ADHD Brain is A-OK, a system that helps people like you figure out what they should do with their life. And we're here today to talk ADHD, your strengths, your symptoms, your workarounds, and how you proudly stand out instead of trying to fit in. I credit my ADHD for some of my greatest gifts. And you know what? I spy a happier life for you too. So without further ado, a shiny new episode is starting now. Hello, I am your host, Tracy Otsuka. Thank you so much for joining me here for episode number 214 of ADHD for Smartass Women. I hope that you'll subscribe to this podcast and our newsletter over at tracyotsuka.com. My purpose is always to show you who you are and then inspire you to be it. And in the thousands of ADHD women that I've had the privilege of meeting, I've never met a one that wasn't truly brilliant at something, not one. So today I am just delighted to introduce you to Emma Doty. Emma is the founder of Emma Doty Cakes in London. She started her business in 2016, and it is a luxury cake and hand-painted macaroon business that operates from Emma's studio in Battersea. Emma was born in Italy to an Italian father and English mother, where she lived in Rome and went to an English school before moving to the UK to study law and earn a master's degree in finance. In a previous life, Emma was a banker working at HSBC, ABN AMRO, and Goldman Sachs. This banker turned baker not only runs Doty Cakes, but also a very busy household with four children, ages 8, 10, 12, and 14. So there's a lot going on. And luckily, her husband is quite hands-on. Emma, welcome. And did I get all of that right?
Thank you very much. And yes, you did. Perfectly right.
Wonderful. You know, what's interesting is the last couple guests that we've had on the podcast, almost all of them have banking in their background, which I find so interesting. And I don't know if it's my reticular activating system that all of a sudden is seeing all the ADHD women that are former bankers, because that's, you know, what my son is interested in or what, but I find it really fascinating, actually.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I think there's probably traits that are shared that are good for banking. I mean, I was in sales and everybody be like, oh, you know, you do it so well. It's great. And for me, it was just, well, you're paying me to do basically who I am. I'm just myself. And I obviously, you know, was interested in it because in finance, things change all the time. It's a news driven. The stock market is news driven. So, you know, the stock market goes up, goes down. It's news that feeds it. So it's always changing and it's current. And that for me is exciting. I enjoyed it because it was not repetitive. And repetition for me is like my worst nightmare. And basically, I think now I know a bit more about ADHD. It's maybe my ability to sort of read people and read, you know, situations well, which helped with the sales thing. I mean, you know, people say I could sell ice to Eskimos if I gave it a shot.
So did you like the people that you worked with? Were they like you?
Some places I like more than others. Some people I like more than others, but I like the excitement of it. It was always buzzing and everybody around me used to feed off the buzz. And that was just great. I mean, I made great friends and I really enjoyed it. My husband still is a banker, actually. He's a banker. And he says things are very different nowadays compared to when I was in banking. But I've got to say, I loved it. I really, really thrived and really, really enjoyed it.
So did you miss it when you left? And I'm jumping ahead now. I'm not That's going right. according to my normal questions, but I'm just curious.
Do I miss it? Yes, but I'm a very different person now to the person I was then, I guess. You know, with both of us being bankers, we couldn't both do 13-hour days and have a family. And I really wanted to have a family. I'm Italian. Family's so important. So we then decided that I would stay home. And to be honest with you, you know, obviously, like everything, you know, go for overdrive. Let's have four children. All right, let's go for it, you know. And then, you know, laundry is boring. Housework is boring.
I'm so envious. I only have two children and I wanted at least three. But my husband saw, you know, the writing on the wall, and it is so expensive in the United States to educate children here. And because we didn't have great schools, they were in private schools. And, you know, then of course they chose the most expensive colleges. But I would have had three, four, five kids. What I miss the most now that they're both, you know, at school or working and out of, you know, our home, I miss the chaos, which is why I had to get a second dog. You know, my husband's like, it's so great. Just one dog. It's so easy. Why do we need a second dog? I miss the chaos. I miss the noise. So
and easy is boring. Easy is boring, isn't it? So why?
I was bored. Exactly. Okay. So Emma, let's talk about your ADHD diagnoses, if that's okay. That's where we typically always start. I went not according to plan today, but hey, so I would love to know, and I know our audience would love to know, what were the circumstances around your diagnoses?
It's really, really weird, actually. I happened one evening to be driving down to the coast where we've got a place, and my husband had gone ahead with the children. So I was in the car driving along, and I caught up with a friend of mine, not a really close friend, but a friend, and she started telling me about her diagnosis. And the drive's a couple of hours. So we chatted loads all the way down, da, da, da. And the more she said, the more I said, but isn't everybody like that? Isn't that what everybody does? And she didn't know me well enough to know that the things she was saying were resounding with me so much. And I eventually got to our place down there. And I said to my husband, I said, I need to find out more about this because I can't, you know, she's just said stuff that she would never have known about me, characteristics and things, and it's just freaking me out now. And I'm the kind of person that once, you know, somebody plants a seed, that's it. You know, I've got to find everything out I can about it. So I then started doing some research. Your podcasts were amazing and really a great help. I did a little, test online. I came out off the charts on those. And I then sort of started putting pieces together about how I was when I was younger, certain characteristics, certain things. And I thought, you know, I don't think I even need to go and get diagnosed. I know I've got it. And I just thought I need to go and see somebody just to confirm it, because that's just the type of person that I am. Now that I've gone down this rabbit hole and, you know, spent 3 months looking into it, I now need to go and find out properly. So that's why I went and was diagnosed. And probably more importantly, I think there are certain things that I now attribute to ADHD when I was younger. And it could have been a lot easier had I known that that was where it was all stemming from. And there's a high chance that my kids may be diagnosed with ADHD. And consequently, I want to make sure that if they are, that there's all the support that they need, as opposed to sort of, you know, just going along with it and having ups and downs that are quite hard to deal with, especially when you're young.
So your story is a little different than most women's stories with kids. Normally, we get diagnosed because our kids are diagnosed first, versus you. You seem to be the one that went first. Or is going first.
Yeah, yeah. So it is. It was really strange. And I think had I not had that conversation, everybody thinks ADHD, boys bounce off the walls. You know, that is mm-hmm. the absolute characteristic. And then, I mean, I always thought I was different. But then I always put that down to being half Italian, half English, going to an English school abroad, and it was that. And then it's not. It's so much more. And I realized that, yeah, that's what it was more than anything else. I mean, I like the fact that I was different. I thought it was amazing, but mm-hmm. I always felt different.
Yeah.
And now I can explain it to myself. But there have been times, big changes are always the thing that I think affect your ADHD, and the not so good symptoms come out. And going to university for me was an absolute shocker. I mean, it was like somebody literally just ripped the foundations out of my life. And it was really, really difficult. I found it incredibly hard. And I think had I known more or anything about ADHD at that point, it would have been a lot, lot better, I think, a lot easier. It didn't have to be so difficult. So when I did get my diagnosis, in a weird sort of way, I was almost a bit cross, because I thought I didn't have to go through all that. You know, why did I have to put up with all of this? Why, you know, because obviously there's certain aspects such as getting bored. I get bored quickly. You know, things need to be exciting and changing and different. And, you know, if somebody says to me, you know, sit at a desk and read through these books, I think I'd rather poke my eyes out with a fork, quite frankly.
So when did you get diagnosed?
So I got diagnosed in July of last year. So it's not been very long.
Not at all. And you alluded to this, but once you knew it was ADHD and you had the benefit of hindsight, what are some of the symptoms that you always wondered about? But now it's like, duh, it was ADHD.
So, I mean, talking too much, oversharing, just a ridiculous amount of energy, which then it gets sort of channeled into, like, you know, if I have a new idea, a new thing, that's all I can obsess with. Yeah, you know, I can just go on and on and on about it. So if somebody tries to divert the conversation, I'll bring it back, which can be quite annoying, quite overpowering, interrupting people the whole time, all the time, because I've moved on. I know I've sort of heard the answer. Let's move on. Next thing now. Otherwise I get bored. So all these things that I thought was like, oh God, I'm just a bit rude or whatever, or just looking for that next bit of excitement. There was that. And then the negative things, such as the anxiety, the total, I now know has a term, the imposter syndrome, the fear of, you know, not being liked or looking stupid, all these sort of aspects, which, you know, and then the worst thing is people saying, oh, but we've all got that. You know, we're all a bit like that. It's like, all right. You know, don't need to go there. But yeah, so those. Yeah, I mean, I'm like super ADHD all over, basically. My husband thinks it's hilarious.
Did you struggle in school, or was school easy for you?
School was easy. I did well at school.
Okay, so there was never a problem there. But what about socially in school?
Because I was so loud and chatty and confident and everything, then, you know, I was always, you know, in the fun group. But I remember as I got older into the sort of teenage years, I found it a lot harder.
And why was that?
Maybe feeling, you know, I wanted to be seen as fun and cool and this, and always worrying about that, and, you know, just feeling I wasn't quite, you know, up to what everybody else was doing and just, you know, doubt, silly doubt, really, now that I look back on it.
I think you just alluded to this because you seem to indicate that socially everything seemed really great until the teen years. And so I'm curious if you can relate, you know, a little bit more struggles or any struggles socially around puberty.
What would it feel like to jump out of bed every morning in love with your career, your relationships, your life? If you find yourself lying awake at night wondering, who am I really? What would make me the kind of happy that doesn't fade after 2 months? Why am I clear on what I don't want to do, but clueless about how to figure out what I do want? Then join me for my free What Do I Do With My Life Masterclass, where we'll talk about how to become the expert on you and make better, quicker, and more confident decisions in your personal and professional life. Which of the many ideas that you have is the one you should actually pursue? And what would it really look like for you to live to your full potential? If this sounds like a fit for you, join me for my free What Do I Do With My Life Masterclass by going to spyhappy.me/class. See you there.
Yeah. The thing is, you know, how much of it is because, you know, everybody has doubt, everybody has, because of hormone changes and whatever, and how much of it can you attribute to your ADHD? I don't know is the answer, but what I would do is, so basically if, you know, kids can be cruel. So if somebody would say something a bit mean, which was maybe said as a joke, it would be like a sort of a spear through my heart, you know, I'd just be like, oh God, yeah. And you'd sort of sit and run it over in your head 450,000 times, something that was maybe just an off-the-cuff silly comment. So that was, you know, just sort of obsessing with things was quite hard. But then you learn to hide all of this. You know, you don't show it, do you? So you just show the confident side. You show the fact that you are socially fun and, you know, you tell jokes and you've got a big character and everything like that. And all the other things, you just sort of hide them from everybody. Or you then sort of, you know, in public, you're all, you know, bright and lovely. And then you have your downtime at home where you don't utter a word for, you know, hours because you're done. You've said every word that there was to say, you know.
So in the email that you sent me, you mentioned two things that I thought were interesting that I want you to expand on, if you would, please. You said that you can shut yourself out of all social situations and ghost people.
Yeah.
What does that mean? What do you mean by that?
So if you, for example, I hate confrontation. I can't deal with it at all. So if I have a falling out with somebody, my natural thing is to ignore them completely. And then in time, I tend to forget why we've argued or whatever's happened. And then we just move on and it's fine. So I have if a person isn't there, I have this incredible ability to sort of forget about them. It's really terrible, but it is true. So awful. And the worst thing about it is that I actually forget why we've argued. And then it's gone. You know, it's like, doesn't matter. You know, it's in yesterday's bit of whatever. So that is definitely one thing. And then as I don't know whether this is because I've got a bit older. And as I get older, obviously hormonally, everything changes again. But what I found myself doing is shutting myself off from going to social situations because I kind of start to think maybe I'm talk too much or I talk about boring things or whatever. So then I'm like, well, I don't go. If I don't go, I don't put myself in that situation. So I then, you know, stop going to things to the point where I'm like quite surprised that, you know, people still invite me to stuff sometimes.
So do you think any of it is, I mean, probably perimenopause and hormones, because we know that estrogen modulates dopamine. So that makes a lot of sense. But I'm wondering if some of it too is that you're just so busy, because I can relate to what you're saying. You're just so busy. And I think as we get older, at least this is for me, I've become very picky around who I want to spend time with. You know, I'm very cognizant of who energizes me And when I return from things and I feel like, oh my gosh, I'm so exhausted. And I'm not typically exhausted, but you know how some people can do that to you?
Yeah. I mean, I've got to the point in my life where I'm like, you know what? If you don't bring good stuff, I'm done. I mean, I'm way too old to waste my time. You know, I've got my kids, which obviously, you know, my time with them is super precious. I run the business. I don't have I run a lot of laundry, a lot of washing machines and hanging and so tedious, but that takes up, you know, a significant part of my day, you know, and making kids' dinners. Another thing which, you know, is awful. It's so boring, but it's got to be done. So you've just got to get on with it. You know, I always play games where I see how quickly I can do the laundry, how quickly I can get up the stairs and hang it. And it's like a competition.
Yes.
Or, you know, I try and do things in the most efficient way possible. So if I cook and then do this and then do that and then do that, it's almost like I'm putting jigsaw pieces together. That is the single most efficient way of doing things. And I've got to get it done in this time. And if I do, then I'm like, oh, that was amazing. So it has to be a competition. Otherwise, I literally can't. I start doing other things and getting distracted and things.
I can so relate to what you're saying. And I'm wondering also, as you're speaking, I'm thinking, I think part of my issues on the social end and being very selective about, because before I was literally, I think my, in the Myers-Briggs, I think my extroversion score was like a 56, which is so far off the charts. It's insane. And I would go anywhere and do anything. And I loved, you know, being the life of the party. And all of a sudden, I stopped enjoying that because it started to bore me. Sitting there talking to people who, you know, they're not talking about anything that I care about or that I want to talk about. They're not talking about things that actually matter. And we have this, we like intensity, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I love being with my family so much that they're the standard that I measure everything against. And so if I don't have at least as much fun as being with my, you know, my husband or my kids, then I don't want to go. And I'm curious if you feel that way too.
Exactly the same.
Mm.
I mean, exactly the same. I'm so, you know, my favorite thing to do is actually to hang out with my husband. Yeah, that is my favorite thing to do. We just sit there, we talk rubbish. We could, you know, now the kids are old enough that if we want to nip around the corner and have a glass of wine and just have a chat and catch up, we can do that. And, you know, then part of me is like, well, why would I want to go out somewhere else? This is who I want to hang out with. And he's here. He lives with me. I mean, it's perfect. You know,
well, and it's easy, right? You don't have to get dressed up. You don't have to drive somewhere by yourself. But I worry about that, Emma, because I worry about, okay, my kids are older than yours. I have a 20-year-old and a 24-year-old, and they're on the East Coast. I'm on the West Coast. And I think about, oh my gosh, if something happens to my husband or my kids end up living on the East Coast permanently, you know, I'm in my mind, I'm like, you need to make more of an effort, because what I will say is often when I get there,
it's
actually enjoy myself, right? You find someone who you're able to connect with and you're really glad you went.
Yeah, totally. And the thing is getting yourself out there and making sure that you do, but I'm terrible at it. I've got to be honest with you. What it is, I think, actually, is that I get up in the morning, you know, the alarm goes off at 6:30. I'm up, I'm getting the kids up, breakfast. Then I have to switch my brain into work mode and I have to go to work. I then do a full day of work. I then have to switch back into super mum, or I like to believe super mum, but to be honest with you, I think I'm so far away from super mum, it's ridiculous. But I try my best, you know, it's my goal. And I go and pick them up and then I've got to see how they are. And, you know, how was your exam? How was your this? Is, you know, is your friends being mean to you? You know, all these things. Then I've got to cook this boring old meal every evening. And by the end of it, and I've done, you know, the washing, the laundry, I'm done.
Yeah.
There's nothing left other than a great big glass of wine or a run. It's got to be one or the other. You know, somebody's got to give me that hit. So I either go for a run or I have a glass of wine and that's it. I'm done. So the idea, as you say, getting dressed up, getting ready and going somewhere just seems like such a monumental task that I just think, oh God, I don't know if I can do that.
Yeah.
But you're right. When I do, I think I've got to do. And I don't know whether you have this, but when I come back from holiday, I come back with like the best intentions. I mean,
I'm going to make sure I go to the book clubs. I'm going to go to all the school things. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Give it a week. I'm back to no, I'm a hermit, you know, back to, you know, I've gone into hibernation. Sorry. You know, it's terrible, terrible. You're doing it.
So I was in Nashville last week, and literally while I was in Nashville, you know, it's the beginning of the year, but I was still not back into, I was still in holiday mode, right?
Yeah.
And so this week was supposed to be all about, so my word for the year is insider, because my word for the year last year was outsider while I was, you know, working on that first draft of my book. And so it's insider this year, and it's all about, I've been so terrible since COVID, you know, just with relationships and friendships. And it just has not been, I don't know. I fell into a new, and I don't even know who this person is, because again, I was always the one throwing all the parties, inviting people, you know, I was the cruise director setting up, we're going to meet here. We're going to, you know, and I think it's hormones, because how could my personality change this much? But anyway, this week was supposed to be the week that I put the whole calendar together for the next couple months, and I have done zippo. So yeah, you reminded me. I now need to do that.
It's true. It is true. I do think it's hormones. I mean, if I think of just back to our wedding, I mean, literally, I could have almost invited total strangers from the street.
Yeah,
we could have made it by amazing, you know. And now I look at me and I'm like, you know, if I go out for dinner, it's, you know, it's, yeah, then, you know, I have my very, very, very close friends, and, you know, I rely on them hugely, and they're really, really important. But it's broadening it a bit, which I'm rubbish at, you know?
And you used to be so good at, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, my job was about, you know, with sales, you know, you'd have to have, you know, relationships with people. I'd remember kids named their birthdays of clients and this and that, everything, you know. And now I think, gosh, and sometimes I get annoyed, because I'm like, you know, I'm like a shadow of the person I was. But then part of me goes, no, actually, you're just going, you know, it's just a different phase. You know, yeah. I always say to my kids, don't feel if you make a decision today that decision is a decision forever. You're allowed to change your mind. You're allowed to change. That's the beauty of living, is that you grow and you develop and you change. And if we were the same all our lives, it'd be really boring. So actually changing and being different, I think, is really fun and exciting. Maybe when my kids leave and go to university, if I have two pennies left, you know, at the end of it, I'm like, I'm going to go and travel the world. You know, I said to my husband, let's get a Winnebago and go. You know, and yeah, you know, then you don't have to go back. You know, with a Winnebago, you just keep on driving, you know, you don't have to go back.
I wonder if for us, it is more the thought of being how we used to be, right? That socially everything was so easy versus now. We are different. We have changed, but we still hearken back to, oh, but, right? We want to keep it all.
Yeah. I guess it's also you want to be young again. You know, it's time's passing really bloody quickly. And,
yeah.
You know, all of that. And then, you know, I think the one thing I look back sometimes, I think, where's the confidence gone? You know, I mean, I was like a steamroller, you know? Where's that confidence gone? Now there's a lot more doubt that creeps in, a lot more doubt. And again, I think that must be, not maybe because I'm slightly, yeah, but I think it's hormones. Yeah.
Because we should have more confidence, don't you think?
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean,
we have
forget
all these
about
experiences, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And yet I, you know, and I think maybe that was part of the reason for going for the diagnosis, because there was a part of me that was like, something was, you know, and you know, we know that ADHD can be something that negatively impacts on your life at points. And then, you know, all the wonderful things about it, you live with and you learn to live with. So it's just, I think it's just different points in time. It's not like if you have ADHD, it's, an, you know, people think it's a condition and it's really negative. No, it's up and down. You know, sometimes it's the bad symptoms kick in, but that's for a period. And then, you know, you just move on and you learn to deal with it and whatever. So I do think hormone changes play a huge role in how you're affected by your symptoms.
Well, and Emma, I suspect that if I were to ask anybody about Emma, the first thing out of their mouth would be, oh my gosh, she's so confident, because that's how you come across, correct? So it's just like our little niggling heads, right? That just, and I think it's because of the hyperactivity, which I believe we all have. I don't know why there's inattentive versus hyperactive versus combined type, because there's always hyperactivity of the brain, right? We're always thinking, it's all those thoughts. And
oh my God.
I
just like
that
sometimes you just want to switch it off.
Yeah, that there's more thoughts. Because
oh my
God. I didn't have these many thoughts before.
It never
so
stops.
The one thing though that you did say to me in the email, which I loved, was you talked about your ADHD being your extra gear. And I love that analogy. Can you expand on that?
Well, it's just like, as I said, you know, at the beginning, I always knew I was a little bit different, you know, and the activity in my head, which is nonstop, which is exhausting, but it's also my sort of secret weapon, isn't it? That's the thing that makes mm-hmm. me different. It's the excitement. It's the constant, you know, idea generation. And it is, therefore, I see it as my extra gear. Can come with some negatives sometimes, but actually that's what makes you fun, makes you the heart and soul of the party, makes you an entrepreneur. You know, it's one idea after another, after another. And actually I sometimes say, you know, I am my own worst enemy because the ideas just keep on coming and I exhaust myself because of them. So going for a run actually is a great thing because I actually find that it helps me get my ideas in line. So it's like, stop the chaos. Go for a run. And that's normally when I get my best ideas. They make sense. They still have a beginning and an end, as opposed to all jumbled up together and just boom, 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 flying off all cylinders. Yeah, that's my extra gear is my ADHD. And I think it, well, without sounding, you know, big-headed, I just think it just makes me special, basically.
No, absolutely. You know? So
and,
does,
yeah.
Go on.
I was just going to say, actually, funny enough, this whole thing, I think my entire family, which is why I probably was never diagnosed as a child, is I think my whole family probably has, to a greater or lesser degree, ADHD.
Yeah.
Certainly my mother, for sure.
So it was normal. It was just
totally.
How you were. Yeah.
Yeah, how we were as a family. But we were, you know, fairly different. And you know, my dad was like one idea after another, and, you know, you couldn't stop him. And I see things about my mum, like my mum would have her burnouts when she'd come home from work and she'd be so exhausted, there was nothing left in the tank. And I understand that now. I look at it and I'm like, yeah, I think you know, she's not diagnosed. I don't know. Who am I? Yeah, I'm not qualified, but I remember things of my youth and her. And I think, yeah, that's, I think what it was. So how can you identify in somebody if you don't know about it, kind of thing?
Yeah, if you think that isn't everybody like this.
Precisely.
Because everybody you know, personally is.
Yeah, and I would say that probably most of the people I choose to hang out with have got it as well, quite frankly.
Yeah.
Just because it's more fun.
Does medication work for you? Have you tried it?
I have, yeah. I have, and I was really reticent. And I umdenard. I'm not one to take medication full stop unless I've got a hangover and then, you know, ibuprofen, please. But, you know, that's kind of the maximum. Yeah, so I was really mixed about it. And in the end, I thought, you know, the reason why I decided to take it was because I thought if my children develop symptoms and show symptoms, I don't want them to take anything I haven't tried before.
Uh-huh.
So that was the actual reason why I decided I would. And it was amazing.
In what way?
It was quiet.
Oh.
If that
you mean
makes
your
sense.
Thoughts? Your thoughts just stopped?
But they didn't stop, but they was just quiet. It's funny because my husband said, you've been looking out that window, not said a word. I was like, I know, it's really amazing. It's so quiet. It's so nice. I was like this. And then I remember thinking, gosh, is this how normal people are? You know, is this how they are? Is this how their life normally is? I was like, bloody hell, their lives are so easy in comparison. They don't have that noise, that constant noise that goes on and on and on and on. And so that was that. And I'm mixed about it. Like, I feel like it does help you focus. But if you don't decide what you're going to focus on, then you're going to spend your entire time focusing on something totally that you should be doing. So, you know, that calendar of yours, I wouldn't get it done unless, you know, you really have to plan that focus. Otherwise, it just goes out the window on, you know. Yeah, I did it the other day. I just started focusing on tidying the socks and pants drawer of all my children. I mean, what? Why? But man, I did it brilliantly, you know, to a 10 out of 10, I would say.
That's interesting. So if you are on, when you are on medication, you make sure that you're taking it. It sounds like you don't take it all the time. You take it.
No, I do. It's just that I've realized, well, before I do that naturally. So, you know I'd have to prepare, I don't know, for something, and I will tidy up the pants drawers, hang out the laundry, decide that something that, you know, something that really is insignificant suddenly needs doing is really important or whatever. So I'm aware of that now. I'm aware that that's what I do. So what I now that I have the medication, which does also help me focus on a single thing, I try to make sure that that single thing isn't my usual behavior, which is, oh my goodness, the bed linen all needs changing, you know, or I need to, you know, the sale is on at somewhere. I need to go and see what's at the sale. When in fact, what I really need to do is make some cakes, get some icing done, get prepared, you know, or whatever it is that I need to do. So it's just trying to be a bit more focused.
Which
in my planning,
kind of like, I mean, that's how our ADHD brains work anyway, right? I mean, if we don't have intention behind what we want to get done, I mean, I'm looking at everything. I'm procrastinating. I'm out there gardening. I'm like, I don't even know what. I'm like, how did I end up out here? You know?
Yeah, yeah. It's amazing. It is. But what it does do is it all the things that have become worse, I think, with hormone changes, they've gone away quite a lot.
Oh,
so the anxiety is gone. That sort of angst that you get in your pit of your stomach. I don't know how, that's the only way, just weird angst that just sits in your stomach. That definitely has gone. Yeah, just the bad bits go.
Well, that sounds like medication is very successful for you, and I'm jealous.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how long, it might be a phase. I'll decide I don't want to take it next week. Who knows, you know? But at the moment, I find it is helpful, yes. It has been.
So, Emma, I'm hearing clicking. Are you hearing that? It kind of sounds like you're doing this.
Oh, sorry. I'm fiddling with an elastic band.
Oh, that's what it is. Okay.
Yeah,
Stop doing that, Emma.
Sorry. I'm fidgeting.
Oh, of course you are. So
yeah.
Women always ask me, should I get diagnosed? You know, and they'll say, I mean, you know, I'm no longer in school. I don't need any kinds of accommodations. Don't need it for work. You were just diagnosed. Why did you decide to do it? And are you glad you did it?
So I'm going to reverse it. Yes, I'm very glad I did it. And the reason why I did it was because once I fixate on something, I can't stop until I find, you know, until I get to the bottom of it. So I needed to stop obsessing. I needed to find out for me. I wanted to know if I had it. Then I knew that there is a high chance that my children, one, two, who knows, whatever, may have it. So I wanted to be able to be supportive and helpful to them if that didn't happen, so that they had everything in place should they feel whatever. And I'm glad I got it because actually I think I'm a little bit kinder to myself as a result.
Explain that, what you mean by that.
So, like, you know, the timekeeping, the over-talking, over-sharing, the intensity of how I am and everything like that. And I now go, that's all right. That's who I am. It's no problem. You don't have to sort of think when you get home, oh my goodness, did I talk too much? Did I do this? Did I do that? Did I do the other? You know, like, it doesn't matter. I am who I am. If they don't like you, it doesn't matter. They don't need to be your friend. It's okay.
Yeah.
So I'm just a bit kinder to the person that I am. Now that I understand certain things about me that maybe might be slightly irritating or bothersome to others.
Okay, Emma, let's shut down and I'm going to have you come back because I'm still hearing that clicking and I don't think it's you. I think it just might be something going on in our... Oh, wait, I just heard it again.
That's my ears.
Your ears?
You're touching my the things in my ears.
Touch your ears. Nope, I'm not hearing it.
Is it gone?
Yeah, now I'm not hearing it at all. So I don't know what it is.
I'm not going to move.
Okay, poor thing.
I'm not going to move.
Okay, so tell me about Emma Doty Cakes. I mean, you have four kids and clearly not enough to do. So what? You decided to start a business making cakes and macarons? Like, how did all that come about?
So It was number four. There aren't many people that have four children. So it was a little bit lonely and a little bit boring. And, you know, it's all lovely. You know, you meet your first time mums. And what color was his poo? And it's like, oh God, I can't do black poo, yellow poo, green, and enough. I'm done with that. So my neighbor, my very, very, very good friend neighbor that is, yeah, she's brilliant, but she goes,
oh,
I'm going
so
to do.
Lucky. So you have a neighbor who you're really close to?
Yeah.
I dream of that.
I think she's got ADHD as well.
I dream of that.
And she's wonderful. You know, whenever there was a crisis, she always says things like, right, we're going to solve this. Don't worry, which is, she's just brilliant. But anyway, and she's slightly mad. She tries everything. She's one of those people that just loves life. So she tries everything. She'll give anything a shot. She's everything. She's just wonderful. And so she said to me, I'm going to go and do a cake course. Why don't you come with me? And I thought, my goodness me, you know, Stepford wife extraordinaire. No, I'm not coming. So I was like, no, I'm not doing it. Sorry. But no, can't do it. Anyway, and then I think it was maybe a week later and I thought, oh my God, I think I'm going to have to go and do that course. I would have done anything. You know, if you said to me, let's go and do some gardening. Well, I love gardening, so that doesn't count. So it's something that you'd hate, whatever. I'd be like, yeah, I'm going to do that just because I'm about to shoot myself. And so we'd go on the bus and we'd go, you know, 10 minutes down the road to this place and we learned how to make cakes. And it wasn't actually the baking. It was just cake decorating. You know, the sort of sugar things that you can make, like a teddy bear and this sort of stuff and everything. We made fondant things, which I don't do at all, actually. And, you know, it was just fun. It was fun because I was Emma. I wasn't somebody's mum, which obviously, you know, with four kids, you're always so-and-so's mum. And we just spent time. I spoke to everybody that was there, but we didn't know anything about each other. We were there just purely to make cakes. And that was fun. Great. Or at least the little things that go on cakes. Yeah. And then when I got home, I thought I'll start baking this, that, and the other, made cupcakes. People said they look pretty. I then was like all about learning how to ice them. And it kind of just sort of, I don't know, it just sort of snowballed from there. And then it just grew and grew and grew. And then next thing I'm like, yeah, I've turned it into a business and
I enjoy it. How did you get into the macaroons?
So because I love them and I would buy them and I was like, okay, I can't afford, it's almost more expensive than cigarettes. I was like, gotta make my own. But also because they are notoriously difficult to make because they're, you know, there's always a little element. You know, if you say to somebody, why didn't my macaron turn out? They'll say, well, maybe your oven's too hot or maybe your oven's too cold or maybe the room temperature was too hot or too cold or it was raining or it was shining or it was this. Or there's always something, but there's always the reverse to it. Nobody quite knows. They're just difficult to make, basically. So I love a challenge. So I was like, yeah, right, that's where I'm going. Difficult to make. I also thought it would be a nice niche because I thought there are a lot of cake makers. What can I do that, you know, is a real niche? And I thought, right, I'll do that. And then I can make them pretty. I can paint them. And I really enjoy doing the painting side of it and coming up with designs and things like that. So I could get the creative side in there. And obviously then there's the business side in there. And that's how it all kind of started, really. And it has grown and grown from there. But it's hard to balance family and work.
Oh, I bet. You have to go on Emma's Instagram, though, and look at the photos. So the reason Emma is here is she sent me this lovely email just thanking me for the podcast and telling me, you know, the difference it had made in her life. And so I went to her Instagram and I loved her aesthetic so much. Everything is so beautiful. And I thought, I want to meet her. And I figured if I want to meet her, you probably want to meet her too. So that's how all of this came about. But I, like you, have such an appreciation for pretty things. And you just have it in spades.
Oh, thank you.
I don't even know how you do what you do because you are literally painting on these macaroons.
Yeah. I mean, they're tiny. So I've got the world's tiniest. If you imagine, I don't know, liquid eyeliner, you know how small the brush is on that? So even thinner than that, some of them, and you just paint them. You just paint everything small. I quite like it in a weird sort of way. You know, there's not big stuff everywhere. It's not too messy. It's nice. And you can, you know, you can do whatever, you can paint whatever you want on them. You know, I just suddenly see something I like and I just get my sketchbook out, do little test trials and that, yeah, that'll do. That's the next one. And I have to keep on coming up with new ideas, because if I just sell the same thing over and over, then it just becomes boring. So I'm constantly coming up with new collections with different, I mean, I like the floral stuff, obviously. But then I get, you know, companies that ask me to replicate, like I had to replicate a wallpaper onto them.
Oh my gosh.
Or not a wallpaper, I mean, a detail of the wallpaper. And that's always a real challenge. It's normally interior designers that come and say, I want my design. I want you to paint it on there. And it's quite fun, actually, because it's always hard. But then once I've got it, it just always looks really cool. It's nice. It really is. So it's fun. And it means that, and I use a different name. So Emma Dodie is my maiden name. So that's my name at work. And that's always been my work name. So then nobody has to know about my other life and who I am in my other life. It's a different name and the two don't go together. And it's great. And I love that separation.
Hmm. So did you figure out the macaroon formula? Can you make them regardless of what's going on outside?
No.
Or
no, no,
no,
no, no.
Really?
I mean, well, I would say that 95% of the time, it's absolutely fine. But then sometimes it's just like, nah, not, it's not going to work today. And I've just got to pack up and say, right, we're going to just give it another go tomorrow. Sometimes so they just don't work.
What does that mean when you say it's not going to work out? Like, would I look at the macaroon and I'd say, oh my gosh, it looks beautiful. And it's just your, you know, eye that.
No, it's because it doesn't taste right.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's got to be like a little bit crispy on the outside and a little bit gooey on the inside. Yeah. And if it isn't like that, sometimes they can be too crisp or they can be hollow or they can be wonky. Nothing wonky leaves the studio. I mean, I'm such, oh my goodness, I'm such a pain in the neck about it's got to be perfect. Yeah, so sometimes it just don't work. I think even the world's most well-known macaron maker probably has bad days. It's just the way it is. Sometimes the egg whites, you know, sometimes it's often the egg whites and the meringue, which is a bit of a pain, or you've mixed it wrong. But I can do four batches, three will be perfectly fine, and one just suddenly decides, no, I'm not working, sorry.
Oh
and
my god.
Nothing different.
So that is the same batch. I mean, that's the same, same conditions, same day.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I have never tried to make macarons, but now I think I might have to.
Yeah, please do it. Let me know.
Just for fun.
Yeah. 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 It's a real pain. Actually, funnily enough, when I first started making it, the first batch I made turned out right. And I was like, I don't understand what all the fuss is about, honestly. And then it went wrong for 6 months. It was a nightmare.
Oh, no.
And then eventually I got there. But yeah, you've got to be patient. And that's a bit of a pain.
You don't do all this yourself. You have help.
No, I do it all. I do it all. I have somebody that works for me, but because it's so niche and because it's high end, you know, it's like if you say, for example, some corporate event is going on and they book me, then that's booked out. That's what I do kind of thing. I'm not sure how big I could go at the moment with my children and my family has to come first.
So you do all of the, I don't know what you call it, but painting basically on each one of them?
Yeah.
So when I was looking on your website, I guess you did an event for Rolex and you had their logo on there.
No, that's different. That's printed.
Different. So they give you what? Like
the ones, they give me, yeah. So I have you can print with an edible printer onto your macarons. So for example, if you wanted flowers, I would hand paint them. But then say you were getting married or what was your birthday, whatever, and you wanted the date, you know, it doesn't matter how you try. It's going to look fairly amateur if I paint it in a little paintbrush. So I have this edible printer and you can just print and trying to, you know, do it somebody's logo. I mean, can you imagine trying to do straight?
No.
Dark? I mean, no. So those go on in the printer because, yeah, Rolex isn't going to want a wonky logo. Yeah, they don't want it to be dead straight.
I was wondering, how can they be so perfect? And I have actually used those edible like transfers on cakes, like for the kids' birthday or cupcakes. Yeah. But I didn't realize, oh, you can do that on a macaroon too. Okay, that makes way more
sense. It's slightly different. It's actually, if you imagine, it's not actually a sheet. It's actually directly onto the macaron directly. It's ink jetted on. Yeah. It's a really clever machine. It's jetted on and it doesn't alter the flavor in any way. So if I was putting one of those sugar sheets on, it'd be, you know, a bit much. Well, it's like this. It's directly onto the shell. It's amazing.
And was it designed specifically for macarons? Really?
Yeah. The first, well, it's designed for cookies and macarons, but the first machines were made in the States.
Huh. Because they're so delicate, right? A macaron like that meringue, that little crispy shell is so delicate.
Yeah, but it's just sprayed almost with ink, if that makes sense. Like an inkjet thing.
Got it.
So it doesn't go in like a piece of paper. You know, it's kind of a little tray that goes in and the thing goes and then it comes out. Yeah. And so those are printed. And then the other ones that you can see that they're, I don't know. I mean, you can see they're hand painted. They're all slightly different because obviously they're done, you know, they're all done by hand. So, but it's great because you can get both then that way. You can get, you know, the precision of a logo.
Yes.
And then you can get the sort of artistry of somebody, you know, painting. So you get both. And it's great for like weddings, you know, bridesmaid gifts, mother of the bride gifts, or even, you know, just having them at your setting, you know, when you arrive and there's a, you know, it's a little favor for every guest with the date on the back or whatever initials or whatever they fancy, really.
That you'd actually want to eat.
Yeah. They don't last very long.
So running your own business, are there things that you have now learned that you're like, you know what? I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
Like what?
So the admin stuff, like getting the boxes ready to pack them and all that sort of stuff. I've got somebody that is brilliant. She does all that. She's amazing. She does the printing side of stuff for me because I don't really want to do the printing and she's great at it. Amazing. So yeah, so somebody that does, you know, sort of running the office, if the studio and all the office-y type stuff, she does all of that. So I don't have to worry about that. So I can stick to baking and painting. Yeah, there's certain things that, you know, I think I just go mad. She prints the, you know, the labels for the boxes and gets them all ready and everything's in line and, you know, checks it and ticks it and makes sure it gets sent the right day and all of that.
So she helps you with all the scheduling part too.
Yeah. She does that. And also, she puts up with me, you know, cause I, you know, she does sometimes say to me, not everybody goes at your speed. Not everybody can keep going for so long. So I'm like, all right, got it. Yeah. I understand.
Yeah. So why not?
Yeah, exactly. Why not? My husband sometimes says, you need to stop. Enough. He goes, it's quiet time now. All right then.
When I had a high-end women's wear company, 60% of our business was Saks, Neiman's, and Nordstrom, which may mean absolutely nothing to you, but they were high-end retailers. I'm not sure how long they're going to last just because, you know, what's happening with retail. I remember, you know, I was in our studio and I don't know what we were doing, but I had a lot of staff there and I was just furious because nobody... Like things would happen and people would just be like, I don't know why it happened. And I remember looking at them and going, does anybody here know how to take responsibility for anything? Or is it always up to me?
After
it's that impatience. Like, oh my gosh. That's like, you know, what you might say to your child and then, or your kids and then, or your husband and then feel bad about.
Yeah. So, and I've had a couple of situations where I remember, you know, really lost it, you know, with people because I just like, no, that's just too stupid. You can't be that dumb. And it's really terrible because it's just not very nice. But sometimes that miss descends, not often. I can count it on my fingers, but if it does, oh my God, don't come anywhere near me.
Yeah.
It's bad. So it's just trying to realize that, you know, not everybody finds it as interesting as I do, first and foremost, you know. So you've got to also find like baking friends so you can talk about, you know, egg whites and what they do and don't do for you and things like that. So, yeah, it's just, you know, making sure that you're a bit aware that, you know, sometimes the intensity is a bit too much for other people.
Yeah. Absolutely. So what do you think the key to living successfully with ADHD is?
The key to successfully living with ADHD is loving it.
Mm.
Loving, I love being different. I think, as I said, you know, it's my extra gear. It's my magic power. Funny, if I told somebody and they went, oh, you've got a magic power. And I thought, yes, I do. I do. You know, the ability to look at things in a completely different way, in a different angle, the ability to hyperfocus is great. You know, it is amazing. You know, what employer doesn't want somebody that obsesses about what they pay them to do? I mean, it's wonderful. So I think that the best thing to do is just love it. You know, embrace it. It's who you are. You know, you can try and pretend you haven't got ADHD, or you can just, you know, take all the good things and try and, you know, manage the ones that are bad as and when they come.
Yeah. And just not focus on it so much. You know, the bad things. Everybody has things that they're not so good at. Whatever. Focus on the things you're really great at.
And you know what else? Surround yourself with people that love you.
Yeah.
That is, you know, forget trying to, you know everybody, fit in with everybody. It's never going to happen. Just find your people and be with your people. And, you know, they love you even when you mess up, even when you're, you know, 4 hours late or whatever it is that you're going to do, you know, that's, or, you know, even if you say a thought comes in your head, it comes out of your mouth without you using a filter, which is, you know, regular occurrence, things like that, you know.
I love it. I love it. So, Emma, if people want to find out more about you, they want your macaroons, where can they go?
Online. My website is, oh God, what is my website now? It's emmadodiecakes.com. And then there's my Instagram, which is @emmadodiecakes. And everything's there, basically. It's very visual, so it's great. You know, Instagram's great because it's very visual.
Wonderful. And are you okay if they have a personal question, something they related to on this podcast, if they reach out to you?
Yes, absolutely.
And they should do that on Instagram?
Yeah, or just email me. There's a contact form on my website.
Wonderful.
I've got to say, just to pick up your podcast. Are amazing. What you're doing is incredible. I've got to say, I found it so helpful, so useful. And I mean, I literally was, you know, listening to one after another, and then going, yes, that makes sense. Now I understand that. Yes. And so thank you. Thank you very much indeed.
Oh, thank you so much. I talk about on the podcast, I meet a lot of women that come in and are guests because of messages that they send me. So I know it's making a difference, but I don't really know why. So I just keep doing it. Obviously, it's the guests, right? Just knowing that there's someone that you can relate to.
It's a mixture because you cover so many things. Sometimes it's a guest, which is somebody like me that doesn't come from a medical background. Sometimes it's a guest with a medical background. Sometimes it's because you do a recap. I love it when you do your recaps. And you split sometimes over the two episodes. You're like, well, I'm going to split it over two because there's too much to cover. So I'm going to do it over two. And, you know, just a recap and the fact that it's so easy because all through your, for lack of a better word, ADHD journey, there are certain things that are more, or you know, certain aspects of ADHD that are stronger or weaker. And actually being able to go through your podcast and go, okay, that's about, you know, imposter syndrome. Right. Okay. I want to find out more about that. Or, medication. I listened to yours about medication. They were really helpful as I was deciding whether to try it or not. You know, it's this catalog. It's like an encyclopedia of ADHD. It's for women. I mean, it's amazing.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I appreciate that, Emma. And I really appreciate you spending time with us here today. It was lovely.
Thank you very much for having me. I hope I've been of some help or interest to somebody. And
absolutely.
Yeah, thank you very, very much for having me.
Absolutely. The next time I'm in London, I'm going to look you up.
Please do. I'd love to meet you in person.
Absolutely. So that's what I have for you for this week. Look, if you like this episode with Emma, let us know. Our goal is to change the conversation around ADHD, helping as many women as we possibly can learn how their ADHD brains work so that they too may discover their amazing strengths. As always, you're listening to ADHD for Smartass Women. Come join me at TracyOutsuka.com. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you here next week. You've been listening to the ADHD for Smartass Women podcast.
I'm your host, Tracy Otsuka, and we're available on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. Not coincidentally, ADHD for Smartass Women, it's also the name of our free Facebook group. We're a totally smartass community of successful, ambitious women who share our ADHD wins, questions, and workarounds. Join us at TracyOtsuka.com, where you can also find more information on our Your ADHD Brain is A-OK system. I spy a happier life for us, and I'll see you again next week. It's me again, Tracy. You know how people often assume that if you have ADHD, you're just lazy, unmotivated, and not living up to your full potential? Well, I'm here to tell you they've got it all wrong, except for the part about not reaching your full potential. But that's only because you haven't found the right strategies tailored for your unique ADHD brain. And that's exactly why I wrote ADHD for Smartass Women. This book, it's designed to help you understand the different approaches that work for your distinct brain, inspiring you to become the best version of yourself right now. You can grab a copy wherever books are sold. And if you've already read my book, please take a moment to leave a review on Amazon and Goodreads. Your feedback, it not only supports me and my publisher, but it also helps other smartass women and their kids, friends, and colleagues find the strategies they need to thrive. Every review makes a huge difference. So go write a review now or buy the book now before you forget. Okay, back to our usual programming.